Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised. Cruelty-free only means that specific product had not been tested on animals. All the ingredients that are in that product does not mean those have not been tested on animals. It does not mean that it's vegan. It literally just means that they hadn't like specifically tested that one product on animals. And actually, here's a fun part that I didn't know this either. This is not a fun part, actually. Tests on early stage life and like fish embryos are still able to happen and be considered cruelty free.
Really?
Yeah. And then cruelty free does not apply to human rights or child labor or anything like that. That just means they have not put your moisturizer on a dog. So cruelty free doesn't really, that just means that product has not been tested on animals. But for them to use the products, the ingredients, as Teresa Giudice would say, that they have brought together to make that product at some point probably have been tested on animals.
Yeah. So the final product has not been tested.
Right.
But the ingredients for the product
probably were.
Has.
Yeah. And there could have been an 8-year-old in China making that. That doesn't cover cruelty-free at all.
Interesting.
Trigger warning. This episode contains graphic crime.
All right, so let's talk about Birch Biggs. We mentioned him in the Hedden episode. I'm pretty sure we mentioned him in both the Hedden episodes.
What you got for us, Birch?
He is not the Buford Pusser type. He's a little fast and loose with the rules and likes to make his own. Now, his grandfather was actually first-generation American and a pioneer settler of Polk County.
Wow.
And through the years, they had many, many, many family members that were lawmen in law enforcement. And when he was a teenager, they would actually let him come to the still breakups.
Mm.
This was really interesting. Before I get into any of this, this is from The Biggs Machine by Tyler Boyd. It's a book. Fascinating guy. I got to talk to him a couple times about this case and some other things. And he really dug, like, he put the research in this. So I'm going to tell the kind of, like, true crime part of this. But if you want to know all of the crazy political stuff that Birch Biggs was into, check out his book because he goes hardcore. I'm going to pass mine on to my dad. I told him to ignore all the highlighter marks but that's, yeah, so that's really interesting. I'm only going to tell about the crazy true crime stuff that happened. Reading this book, I did not know this. So, below the mountain, quotations.
Okay.
Delano, Benton, Ocoee, Parksville, Reliance, Archville, or Greasy Creek.
Right.
And then those are all part of the Cherokee National Forest. Above the mountain is where the copper was found. Mm-hmm. So, that's Copper Basin, Farner, Turtletown, Isabel, and McKay's, which ends up becoming Copper Hill. Mm-hmm. That's all above the mountain. So the thing about Polk County during this time that you need to know as a little bit of a background information is they were considered a purple county. They were completely split that the people below the mountain were more Democrat-leaning and the people above the mountain were more Republican-leaning.
So we got a split here.
Right. And pretty much the whole time during Birch's career, that's an issue because you've got to remember the people above the mountain don't necessarily agree with him. He's a Democrat. People below the mountain like him a lot more.
Yeah.
So the law court was in Ducktown and the county seat was Benton. So he becomes a deputy in 1898 when he's really young. And he actually becomes the sheriff first time when he's 35 years old. And by his second term, he already has a 90-acre farm. And then he gets together with seven other men to incorporate the Benton Banking Company. He's already sheriff. And
now he's going to be the banker.
Yes, already getting himself kind of murky waters there. So right off the beginning when he's early sheriff is the 1906 murder of W.A. Gwynn, who is a prominent lawyer. That's right here. He gets his own episode because that is one that Tyler Boyd from the book, he said, hey, I've got this one. I only put a little bit in it, but it's too interesting to not do something on. So it's going to be its own episode. So by 1907, just a few years into his second round of being the sheriff, one of his dad's horses got loose and got onto Tom Carter's cornfield. Mm. So Tom Biggs goes over there and him and Carter start getting in a little bit of an exchange. And Tom struck Carter with his garden hose. So Carter pulled out his gun and shot him in the chest and killed him instantly. Birch arrested Carter, but he was later acquitted for, I mean, this was obviously that man hit me with a hoe.
That man hit me with a hoe.
Yeah. The next year, Birch loses the election. Mm-hmm. But that's okay because Etowah, which is only 15 minutes away,
right,
is a newly forming railroad city and they need someone there. Good. So he goes and he only works there for 16 months, but then he ends up resigning on good terms over medical stuff. So, of course, he's coming back to Polk County. And by 1914, he's back in Polk County and he meets E.H. Crump. We've actually talked about Crump. We've talked about him in like other little episodes, too. His story is he was originally the mayor of Memphis and really just created this huge political machine to where he controlled the cops. He controlled all the money coming in and out. He would suppress voters. He would pay people. He would stuff ballot boxes. He really created this outline for the political machine that both Birch Biggs followed. The Battle of Athens goes back to it. He really had a hand in Tennessee. And actually, the crazy part is he was only a mayor of Memphis for a short period of time. And the reason he got removed is because he would not abide by the moonshine laws. Because people don't realize Tennessee actually had liquor and moonshine laws before the whole nation did. And he wouldn't shut it down in Memphis. So they booted him out as mayor.
Huh.
And even though he wasn't mayor anymore, he just kept his political standing and really ran shit in Tennessee for the Democrat Party. Birch starts figuring out all this stuff. And he really starts looking at Crump and how Crump would do something called ripper bills or skullduggery. At this time, the state constitution would allow like district lines to be redrawn and they could have a ripper bill and come in and completely remove an entire government and replace them with their own people. So Birch Biggs starts trying to do that to the Republican-led Bradley County. Well, Bradley County does not like that, number one. Right. The Hardwicks, big names we know here in town, Hardwicks, Inmans, Johnsons, they all actually write letters to the governor being like, we don't want him. Like, we see what he's doing up there. He can stay up there. We don't want him here. Well, we actually really got lucky because it was a mix up in like paperwork delaying the bill and it ended up killing it. And that's how Birch Biggs never ended up getting his grubby ass little paws on Bradley County's government.
That's probably the best thing that ever happened.
Right. Honestly. So 1915 was the first big homicide by one of his officers. Deputy Hugh Burris fatally shot James Sperling after an argument.
Damn it, Hugh.
His mother sued Birch for $30,000 in damages. And that didn't look great.
No.
So he wasn't reelected the next run. They were like, no, that didn't really look good on you. Well, he just went back to Etowah.
He just keeps bouncing around.
Well, while he's in Etowah, he makes friends with McMinn County Sheriff Burkett Ivins. That sheriff had lost his election, and they were both indicted for issuing counterfeit poll tax receipts. But those charges just disappeared.
Shocking.
While he was in...
I find it funny how easily charges just up and vanished are gone. Back then.
Just no clue where that paper went.
Wild.
There was a fire. That's always the answer.
There was a fire.
So at this home when he's in Etowah, there was the arrest of James Moss. And James allegedly matched a suspect for murder out of Chatsworth, Georgia. Let me tell y'all, that's only 15, 20 minutes. That's not very far at all, even though they're different states. Same
we're
highway
on
system.
On the line.
Yes. Moss and Cliff Thompson were executed for the crime. Mm-hmm. But Eula Thompson was given life in prison, later pardoned because it's believed that these men were actually innocent and just targeted for being black.
Again, shocking.
Right. Burge returned back to Polk County. You would think by this point they would have had enough of him. Chaos follows this man. First, we're going to talk about March 1935, and there was a carnival in Copper Hill at the time. It was led by a man named Jack Quinn. Well, according to him, deputies Emmett Gaddis, Wyndham Gaddis, Wes Pierce, and Ernest McGee all confronted him outside the hotel one evening and arrested him for public drunkenness, but he said he had only had one beer. That was kind of part of their game. If they just smelled any alcohol on you, they're going to take you in for public drunkenness and get the fines off of your arrest.
Yeah.
Does not matter how...
They'll be drunk in public.
Right. The more he protested, the more charges they added on.
Of course.
And he was standing in the restroom with another prisoner present at the jail. And McGee and Pierce beat him nearly to death in that bathroom. These officers.
Whoa.
So they drug him back to his cell and did not call a doctor till the next morning.
That ain't lawful, boys.
No. And he was moved to a hospital in Chattanooga, so at least he got away from them. Mm-hmm. The same year, in November, David McFadden was leading a road crew that was grading what's now Highway 64. So a mob of mad workers had showed up and they were saying that McFadden had been abusing them and threatening to fire them. So the mob starts throwing rocks at the road crew and deputies Gaddis and McGee from our last story respond to the fight. McGee was approaching David McFadden and McFadden was getting his ass beat at this time. So he shoots his gun up in the air just to kind of scare everybody and scatter them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when this happens, supposedly McGee's eyes are burned by the gunpowder that goes off. Seconds later, David McFadden is shot in the mouth. He lived. And he told them that Gaddis had shot him. He quickly gets a lawyer and he's pretty vocal about it, right? Very vocal about mm-hmm. it. So in the early morning hours of Christmas Eve, just a month later, Deputy Gaddis is at his house and he just hears a knock on the front door. And before he even makes it to the front door, a shotgun blast just blasts through and hits him.
Oh,
Gaddis later told Birch Biggs that he had seen the man that had shot him and it was David McFadden. There was no way he could have seen the man that shot him.
Because it was through the door.
Right. But he says it's David McFadden. And honestly, you sound like a son of a bitch. You sound like you would have a lot of people that wanted you dead.
Right. I don't think McFadden's the only one.
On New Year's Eve, McFadden goes through his attorney and they release a press statement saying that he was actually at the Reed House in Chattanooga that night. They have proof where he was. He's innocent. He has nothing to do with this.
Many, many, many miles away.
But Birch Biggs does not care and issues a manhunt for this man. So he contacts Sheriff O.J. Lawson in Bradley County. He actually tells him, hey, McFadden is staying at the Cherokee Hotel and he's driving to New Plymouth here in town. So they arrested him and they indicted him and the trial was set for that May. May 17th, David McFadden left the Cherokee Hotel here in Cleveland where he had still been staying and he was heading to Ducktown to watch a baseball game. After the game, he was on his way to North Carolina. Three men immediately started following him and started trying to push him off the road. When they finally quartered him, his car was shot five times with a machine gun. He was struck five times, but still alive. He exited the car with his hands in the air. Two men drug him 30 feet off the highway and shot him several more times, killing him. His gun was still holstered in his waistband. So fairly shortly, a small little crowd gathers around and they find him. And Emmett Gaddis just so happened to check into the hospital with a gunshot wound around the same time.
Oh, you don't say.
Federal agents actually come in town and they actually put out a warrant for Gaddis because...
This ain't it.
Right. Like, this is showing that you're trying to have some, like, weird on-standing beef with this guy. Like, this is not working anymore. At this point, Birch has reached his limit. You can only do 8 terms in a row.
Okay.
So he lets his son, Broughton, run for sheriff, and he takes office. So now we got Little Birch, or Little Biggs, not Little Birch, because there is a Little Birch, whose nickname is Beefy. who will next be sheriff. But right now, we're at birch number two. 2 days after he was elected, the Copperhill police chief just left in the middle of the night. He was like, I'm so tired of this. And if I stay here in town, I'm going to get killed. So he just hightailed it.
He was like, I'm out of here. I'm done with this.
Gaddis goes on trial, and three witnesses saw the entire thing. They saw him pull McFadden out of the car. They saw him shoot him, saw the whole thing. And then they also saw his accomplice shoot him in his thighs to give him a potential self-defense claim. So that's why he was at the hospital.
That's the gunshot wound.
He said, I had nothing to do with this. He was going for his gun. I was so terrified. And he was found not guilty. McFadden's wife. I mean, it's crazy. This happens so much in this story. But McFadden's wife sued the officers, and Gaddis ended up having to pay $25,000 of the $100,000 she asked for.
Wow.
So she didn't get everything, but she got something.
But she got some.
So around the same time, Birch bought a house downtown, which is like right in the little circle of Benton that is now around the courthouse. He connected his water pipes to the city water pipe so he could steal their water. Also during this time, there was a lot of allegations that instead of sending people to go to prison work camps like they were supposed to, he would have them come to his farm and work. And that was like known as the worst kind of that you did not want to go to Birch's farm to work.
Damn.
So at the same time, he's colluding with Benton Banking Company still. And they started snatching up people's homes with illegal and unlawful foreclosures. And people believe that's how he got such a big farm, was he was snatching up properties around him.
Just do, 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 do.
Yep. September 1938, we're back to Emmett Gaddis. And he's leaving a restaurant in Ducktown. And deputies Clayton and Crawford start following him, leading to a high-speed chase. Gaddis stopped his car in Main Street. He got out, and the officers are yelling, you're under arrest, which they just loved to do that back then. Well, Gaddis wasn't supposed to be carrying his gun anymore, but he was. He refused to surrender his gun, so Clayton and Crawford hit him with 18 bullets, killing him instantly.
Woo!
But then the deputies fled the scene. They were later surrendered at the jail, but never prosecuted.
Again, shocking.
Right. I'm going to touch a little bit on the Battle of Athens, but it's got its own story. By 1945, Birch was retiring, and that's when Birch Jr., a.k.a. Beefy, was taking over. And there was corruption in all these elections. In the book, Tyler talks about people still alive to this day remember Birch's deputies throwing like ballot boxes off of the bridge into the river. Hardcore the corruption. Around the time the Battle of Athens happens, a U.S. Navy vet named Chuck Talley started the GGL, the Good Government League. And they wanted...
The GGL.
Yes. And they wanted the Birch family just completely... Or the Biggs family completely...
Listen, going out.
Yeah, they said, we're done with this. We're done with the corruption. We saw what happened
Y'all
in Athens.
Y'all can't be around here.
Right. We saw what happened in Athens. We don't want anything to do with this anymore. So then... A group of pro-Biggs formed the Veterans League of Polk County. These names. So tensions get so high between the groups, Beefy actually asked the National Guard to come in, but they refused.
National Guard said, we don't do petty squabbles.
Right. They said, we've been there, done that. No, thank you. But actually, Beefy had a heart attack and had to be removed from the ticket. And this was the first time in over 20 years that a Biggs had not been on the ticket. At this point, the National Guard actually does send in because they're like, okay, stuff a little bit elevated. Let's come in. And they came into town and they stayed until all of the votes were counted because they were saying, you know, we're going to make sure this is right. The GGL won. There was, you know, a couple drive-by shootings, but nobody actually...
Oh, it was just a couple drive-bys.
It was, at this point, I think that was normal. Nobody was viciously hurt. And... The Biggs' reign of terror was over. Their farm was actually located where present area of Chilhowee Gliderport and Superside is on Highway 411.
I know exactly where that's at.
Yeah. He died at Bradley Memorial Hospital in 1954 at the age of 80. And just some of the names that died at the hands of his deputies are Garrett Hedden, James Sperling, David McFadden, Jack Haddock, Maddie Haddock, George Ledford, Emmett Gaddis, and Horace Hughes. That's just some of them. But I'm going to say this. Despite the controversy surrounding his methods, there are no documented evidence of Birch Biggs being found guilty of any criminal offense during his lifetime. That is my disclaimer to his descendants.
Wow.
There is no actual proof that he did anything, but it sounds like he ran a fast and loose ship.
Gee, I wonder why there's no proof.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is just some of Birch Biggs. And you always hear about those stories and corruption back then. It was here, guys. It was here.
Yeah, big time.
That's why we have this podcast. It was here.
Wild. Yeah. Wild.
That's the story of Birch Biggs.
Ta-da.
Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.